Amen. Okay. Find it here. Okay, there we go.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and for your worship, the ability to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, that your divine presence would be here with us tonight, Lord, and we pray that the word which you have given to us that we have received from a vindicated prophet in this hour would be that which would help us, Lord, to step into the role in which you've called us to be as sons of God. Be with us tonight, Lord, as we study thy word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I'd like to speak on the subject that's been burning in my heart. As you know, we've looked often at the spirit of adoption or the subject on the spirit of adoption, and even the pattern of adopted sons, which we saw in the eldest son, Jesus, who Paul says in Romans 8 that Jesus Christ is the eldest brother in a vast family of brothers. But before we go to Romans again tonight, I'd like first to pick up where we left off in the spoken words, original seed. We're going to look at paragraph 89, where Brother Branham said, "The works that Jesus did, if a man has the seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus was manifested in him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God. And if the same spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifested." You don't believe that? All right, let's turn to St. John 14 and 12. You say, "I'm a believer. Brother Ram, I sure am a believer." All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the word of God calls you one. "Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." What is it? The same seed can't keep. How can you plant wheat here and wheat here and say, "I'm going to get a cucumber here and wheat here"? You can't do it. The only way that you're going to get a cucumber is to plant cucumbers. And if you hybrid it, then it won't be a cucumber. It'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. This is, and you've got to say it, it isn't either one. It isn't a cucumber or what you bred it with. It's a crossbreed, and it's a bad product, and it's dead in itself, and it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there, back, won't go no further. That finishes it. That's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. If you want a church, start with the Word of God. If you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it. And then that's, and if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. So what's in your garden? Traditions and creeds or the Word of God? Churchianity, that church spirit, or the Word of God? Because the Word, the Spirit falling upon that is going to produce exactly what is in your garden. See? Then now, where's your latter rain coming up at? See? You see where that's going after a while, don't you? Going over with them with gourds that Elijah got and thought that they were gourds, or them school of prophets up there, that denomination that they had, gathered some wild gourds and they thought they were peas? I guess because they were used to hybrid peas. Must have been pretty big size, right? How could you mix up a gourd with a pea? Unless it's some huge hybrid. And that's what they want. See, they want the big fancies. Well, then the works will be manifested in him are the same. For it is the same seed word of God. God's son was his example seed. And what his life was, when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced will, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of a life doing the same thing that he did. If it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth a son of God seed. Now, shaming you women with bobbed hair. Shaming you preachers denying that truth. You say it's all right. Hair has nothing to do with it, but God said it did. So notice that if we have son of God seed, then we must produce the same works and same results as our eldest brother did before us. I don't care if you're a housewife. Doesn't matter if you're a mechanic, a nurse, whatever your occupation. Jesus was a carpenter. Paul was a tent maker. Peter was a fisherman. Matthew was a tax collector. What did their occupation have to do with their sonship? Or manifesting God's promise for them in their day and age that they lived in? Daniel was an administrator. Joseph was a financial advisor. David was a shepherd. So you see, it doesn't matter what job you have or how you make your living. What matters is that you recognize your sonship and the role of God, or that God your Father wants for you to perform in His family. Now, in opening up, if we would, to our Bibles, to Romans chapter 8, Paul said, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." He says there is no condemnation if you're in Christ and walking in the role that God your Father has set before you to walk. Now, He didn't say that no one would condemn you for it. You'll have your critics and so forth. Even as Joseph's own brothers criticized and condemned him. But his father didn't condemn him. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Notice the law of the Spirit of life. I love that. The law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life has a law. And that is the law of reproduction, which says that every seed must bring forth after its kind. That is why Brother Branham could say that what we just heard him say about the same thing as the Son of God did, you will do if you're a son of God. Same Son of God seed will bring forth the same works in all sons of God. The original seed will bring forth the same crop each time that is planted in an earthen vessel. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us." Let me read that again. "That the right wiseness of the law," the correct understanding of the revelation of God, "might be revealed in" who? "In the Son of God." Is that what he says? What did he say here? "That the right wiseness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Notice he's saying that the right wiseness of the law of life, every seed after its kind, will be fulfilled in us. Because Jesus was the original seed, Son of God's seed. So the fulfillment of the original seed will be fulfilled in the seeds that come after. It's necessary that a corn of wheat go into the ground, because if it doesn't, it abides alone. No big family of brothers. Therefore, the original seed had to go into the ground so that it could bring forth a many-membered brethren, family of brothers. I like that. Notice he's saying that the right wiseness of the law of life is to be fulfilled in us. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So if we mind the things of the Spirit, then it is because it is His Spirit in us, bearing witness within us, that we are sons. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So if you're carnally minded, you'll not have life, or you'll not have a life of peace. But if you're spiritually minded, although the world will give you no peace, yet you'll be at peace, even through the hardest of times and the stormiest of times in your life. Remember, Jesus slept right through the storm. He was at peace. Amen. Jesus slept through the storm until the apostles awoke Him from His slumber. I don't care if the plane is on fire, if the wings are coming off, if the jets are stopped, if God sends you to a place and all that happens, you know, rest assured, you're going to that place. Paul was in a great storm. The ship was wrecked, destroyed. Paul made it where he was going. Amen? Jonah, same thing. He said, hey, I know why this storm is here. Throw me overboard. It'll end your storm. They threw him overboard. A big fish came and took him to where he's supposed to go. Now, had he come any other way, they wouldn't have received him. Because Nineveh worshipped the fish god. And when he came out of the belly, or out of the mouth of this huge fish, they knew that that was their God's prophet. And so God knew what would grab their attention. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. Now we're going to get to where the Lord wants us to take us this evening. But let me just review this last thought again. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. You know, we talked last week about how the brain has the hyperthalamus and the thalamus, and then the what they call the reptilian, which is, you know, at the stem of your spine, comes up in here. It's a little mass. It's right around that. It's very basic. And all the nature, all the fight and flight, the wanting to fight and those kind of things, that comes out of that. And then, as the doctor had mentioned, that you have the thalamus, the hyperthalamus, and you have the brain is split with the two hemispheres, and one of the hemispheres is the ratio, which is the logical thinking part, and the other is where our feelings and our emotions come from. And he said there's a dissection, the synchronization between the two, because of the technology today, is just cut off. And so he said that's why you see people now. He said what we used to think of a subconscious, and like Brother Branham explained to us, you know, how a prophet, you know, his subconscious and his conscious are right together. So he could see while he's yet in the, he could see while, I mean, you know, you and I have to go to sleep, go to our subconscious to have dreams and things. But he's right there. He can see it, right? That's the way God wants us to be. And you can see how the world is going to sleep. But in their subconscious, they're going into the, and he said that now the emotions have withdrawn into the subconscious. And so what's happening is people are performing the job rationally. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But next second, they just blow up. Like a bullfrog full of buckshot. You know, they just get angry. They get riled and things like that. And he said, they call it the reptilian. Now, it's not. I'm not calling people reptiles. What I'm saying is that's the reptilian. That's the most basic of animalistic. And Brother Brown said, look, we have that in us because of the mix. Noah was the last man that was genetically perfect and didn't have reptilian part of the brain. He couldn't have had. He was purely Son of God. But we have to fight with those things. But what's happening today, he said, is that because our emotions are separated from our rational. People get so emotional, they throw themselves into that emotion. They forget the rational side of things. They don't think when they're getting angry. They just spew off. That one minute they could say, I love you, I appreciate you. Next minute, you know, you didn't stroke them the right way. You said something they didn't like. And they rail up in anger. Well, let me just tell you something. If you walk in the Spirit, or are you going to walk in the flesh? You can combat those things. Brother Branham said germ warfare and everything else. He said the Holy Ghost is our vaccine. I believe the Holy Ghost, if you're walking in the Spirit, prayed up, listening to tapes as often as you can, hear that voice of God, put it in your ear all night long. You want to bring your emotions back. You want to be able to weep before God. It's the most wonderful thing, let me tell you, to get on your face and just weep before God. weeping for your brothers, your sisters, weeping for yourself. But like I asked last Sunday, how many of you, and I didn't ask for hands, but how many of you, when's the last time you really had a good cry before God? Because of yourself, your condition, not being ready. We have a rapture that's going to take place whether you're ready or not. It's going to take place. It has to take place. The sad thing is, many people are going to miss it. So what we're dealing with here, we're talking about sons of God. Until we are ready for the adoption, there won't be an adoption. But let me tell you another thing. When God has 10 people in this world who are ready for that adoption, the rapture is going to go, regardless of anybody else's. There was only 8 in the days of Noah. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. Now we're going to get to where the Lord wants us this evening. But if he says in verse 11 here now, notice this. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This mortal body. You don't have to wait for the rapture, for God to put life into this mortal body. Brother Branham wasn't raptured, and yet we sure saw God's life in that mortal body. We saw an obedient Son of God in that mortal body. Huh? Now, I really don't think that the children of God at this point are really perceiving what this is telling us. But look, when we get through this sermon, and I believe the one tomorrow, I believe you're going to have a better understanding of what I just read to you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall